why you have them, what is their purpose, and who gave them to you, and all of that good stuff. So we have said that the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life when you come to God in repentance, acknowledging your sin, and then you ask for forgiveness, and then God forgives you. And with that forgiveness comes the blessing of being indwelled by the Holy Spirit himself. God himself comes. Actually, in the Bible, there are different places where it says that God the Father dwells in you. It says that God the Son is in you. And it says the Holy Spirit is in you. The fullness of God comes into your life. God doesn't just give you a little piece. God doesn't just give you a little something or give you one. He gives you all three, himself, completely, all the way. Just as he gave himself on the cross, he gives himself to your heart and to your life and to help you and to empower you the rest of the time being, or eternity, let's just say, if you're in him. So then he gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us capabilities that only he can give us, that only we acquired when we surrendered our lives to him. And he makes us responsible for those gifts. We are stewards of God. Everything that we have belongs to him. Everything belongs to him, including the breath that you take every couple seconds or so. Everything belongs to him. But we've been given everything so that we may use for us to administer and to manage and to use to the best of our abilities that he has given us. But he makes us responsible of that, and including our gifts. So we're responsible before him every day that we live, every single day, about what we do and how we employ those gifts that he has placed in us. Remember that I told you that the purpose for the gifts is not your pleasure, but to be productive and to serve others. So it's not about your pleasure, but for you to produce and grace others with them. Remember that I told you that you receive the grace of God in these gifts, right? You receive the gifts. You give the grace to people. People give you gratefulness, and you give back the glory to God. So what a wonderful thing. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, as we go once again to the same passage. And we're going to focus on the gift of teaching. But it says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in serving. And he who teaches, in teaching. And that's where we're going to camp out, in that little phrase, those who teach, in teaching. And let me tell you, the Bible tells us that there's a gift of teaching, that some have been appointed teachers. So this is not just a gift, but also it is an appointment by God to certain people to exercise that and to do that solely in their lives, pretty much as an office. Not all the people that hold office in the church as a teacher or a preacher or something like that. I don't consider myself a prophet as having the gift of prophecy, but I consider myself more of a teacher. And that's, I think, where my gift is. And when we look at the characteristics, hopefully you'll be able to see that in me, because I think that's where I see myself every time I look at these things. And hopefully that will be seen. If not, then I'm in big trouble. To think that I'm a teacher but I'm not, that would be bad. So let's just look at some of the characteristics. But before we do that, every gift is necessary in the church. Every single gift is necessary. Why? Because God has given us all to fulfill, you know what I mean? To have the church fulfilled, every gift should be exercised and employed, I mean, gracefully, graciously, and abundantly, right? But then it's necessary because the church needs to survive. You see, the Bible talks about each and every one of us having different functions in the body with your gifts. And what if you don't use your gift? What if you don't do what you're supposed to do? That means that you, as part of the body of Christ, do not do your function. That means that the body's not working properly or well, or not living and fulfilling its life. You know, we're not being efficient, not complying with the mission of the church. And there are many churches that simply get by and survive with just a few people trying to perform everything. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. Let me tell you something. I read this illustration, and I thought this is exactly the picture of many churches. And sometimes I see that, and I include our church and say, we need to get better. We need to really grow in the area of using and taking advantage of the gifts that we have within the church with other people. But there was a movie which titled in French is Beau Geste. I don't know, but nice gesture. Okay, let's do it in English. Nice gesture is the name of the movie. And in this movie, the Arabs were attacking a fort of the French. And as they're attacking the fort, all the soldiers on the fort are just pretty much falling dead, one side to another and everywhere. But guess what they did in the fort? There was only four people left inside that fort. And what they did is they took every one of those dead bodies and propped them up with the guns and propped them up all on the little, you know, squares around the fort. And then the four people went running around and boom, 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 shooting each rifle of the dead people. Have you ever seen that movie? Maybe you tried it when you were a kid. Maybe you've heard that story before. But it was in this movie. And to the Arabs, it was pretty convincing that they had a mighty army on that fort that was shooting at them. When there was only four people shooting at them out of like 50 guns, you know, they were running like crazy all over the place. You see, from the outside, it looked pretty convincing that there was a fortress and it was well defended and that people were doing their jobs and everything else. When there was only four men doing it, a lot of times it looks like churches. Where there's only like four or five people running like chickens with their heads cut off while everybody else is looking. Now, let me just give you this. The people who sit and look, they might not be at fault at all. It might be the four that are running. It might be just them. They just can't handle letting anybody else do anything if they can afford it. It could be that the people are trying to do too much and then they complain about the ones that are sitting. And maybe the ones that are sitting are saying, I'm not even getting up because I know they don't want me to do anything. Maybe that's their fault too. So you see what I'm saying? It could be either way. But sometimes that happens in the church, and we don't want that to happen. We want to wake up, and we want to discover our gifts, and we want to start using them. And we want to inwardly evaluate ourselves and look really good so that when these gifts are mentioned and are taught from here, you'll be able to say, oh, there you go, that's me. That's me. And like I said, you may have more than one, but there's always one that drives you. There's always one that simply drives your existence. And if you're a Christian, you exist, of course, in Christ, and you have a gift in Christ that the Holy Spirit has given you. Now, let's talk about the gift of teaching. And remember that you don't have to have the gift of teaching in order to be teaching. As a parent, you need to teach your children, and you may not have the gift of teaching. In the church, you may be part of the nursery, part of the children's ministry, and you help out with the children. That doesn't mean you have the gift of teaching, but maybe you have the gift of mercy. Maybe you have other gifts, and you use them in the teaching ministry of the church. So don't be coming at me and saying, oh, well, we need some people to teach the children. I don't have the gift of teaching. Well, guess what? That's no excuse. Amen? So think about those. But yet, you know, we have to be careful and know. Let's look at the characteristics as we've done with every gift. Let's look at the characteristics of the person with the gift of teaching. Number one, the person has a strong desire to present the truth in an organized fashion. Organized fashion. You see, they like to present stuff very well organized. They have a good sense of direction. They kind of know where they want to lead the people they're teaching. They know where they want to take them. They know where the goal is. You see, and you can follow them easily because they know where they're going and you can follow very easily. They break it down and make it easy for people. You see, that's why we do these kind of things. That's why I like this. I love this. And I know that some of you, when a pastor comes in here and he doesn't put anything on the screen, he's a visitor, you guys go like, oh my God, where is it? Because you've been used to being given this in a very, this is not rocket science, people. What I'm doing here is simplifying everything so that you'll be able to learn, memorize, use it, practice, and be able to remember things, right? So that's what a teacher does. They make it easy. The pastor or whoever presents the knowledge in a way, the word in a way that the audience then can see the truth in it and they can start using it. Not in a disorderly fashion, but in an orderly fashion. And this is one thing I really, really like doing because this is the way I think I learned the best and easiest, just having kind of a, you know, I don't give you 10,000 verses in a sermon, right? And you go home with just a list of verses to read at home to think, how do I, you know what? There's a Bible that does that, the Thompson Bible, right? So I don't need to do that from the pulpit. You buy a Thompson Bible and you can chain all the verses you want. But that's good. I can use other verses, but I like to see the truth in them and organize them in an easy, fashionable way that they will just flow all the way to the goal. Usually, they like to present what's the goal. And that's what we did at the introduction. The goal is that you evaluate yourself, that you see yourself in one of these gifts, that you discover and that you put it to practice. Simple as that, all right? We start at the beginning and finish in the end. Have you ever heard preachers that start at the end and end with the finish? You know, I mean, end with the beginning and you get a little confused here and there. I try not to do that. I could be like that sometimes. They like to be organized with their teachings and everything, right? It's simple as that. And not only that, they're very thorough. You know, usually a person with the gift of teaching, they like to be very thorough in everything that you do. And we can think about some of the people in the Bible that show these gifts. And actually, we can see Peter in the gift of prophecy, like we mentioned. Then we talked about the gift of service. I never mentioned it, but you can see Timothy. Timothy had the gift of service. How do I know? Because in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, that's exactly what Paul says about Timothy. He says, you've been given the gift of ministry. You are a minister. You are a deacon is actually the word that he uses in the Greek, deacon. And deacon means servant. It means somebody who ministers, somebody who covers a need, somebody who serves, right? And usually the people, they like to be organized. They like to have everything organized, and usually they get more powerful when they get organized. You see, it's like if you remember the Peanuts cartoons on the newspaper, you guys used to read those, right? And what was that? Lucy was the girl, and there was a kid, the other boy. What was his name? Linus, right? Well, Linus, okay, he was watching TV on one of the cartoons. He's watching TV, and all of a sudden, Lucy comes in with a fist, and she says, change the channel. And Linus says, who gives you the authority to come in here and tell me to change the channel? And Lucy says, you see these? You see these fingers together? That's a fist. And that gives me a lot of power. And right now I'm telling you, you better change the channel. So Linus says, okay. He changes the channel. He leaves the room. And then he talks to his own fingers and said, how come y'all can't get organized like that? You see? And people who teach usually like to have everything organized in order to be able to teach clearly. Not that I'm going to punch you or anything, hopefully. But hey, if I got to wake you up, I got to do it somehow, some way. You've heard the joke about Paul when he was teaching and one guy was sitting at the window, right? And he fell off the window. That's not a joke. That was real in the Bible. The guy fell off, and he died. So Paul had to go down there and get on him and pray for him. And the guy came back to life. You seen that? You read it in the book of Acts? It sounds funny, but it was serious. The guy died. But Paul had been preaching approximately 6 hours. So don't complain when I go over an hour, okay? Now, the thing is that, of course, you know, you heard about the pastor who had some people falling asleep, and he told the deacon, hey, go wake them up. Go wake those guys up. And the deacon said, you made them fall asleep. You go wake them up, right? So I ain't going to do that for you. But you see, I just remembered that. I'm sorry. But you know what? That you know what I'm talking about, getting organized. See, now I'm disorganized. And They're very thorough about things. When they want to tell you something, oh my God, they give you all the details, right? You know those people who, when they're going to tell you, they tell you all the details about everything. Yeah, usually the one that has the gift of teaching, they want to give you the details. They want to give you the process. They want to tell you why it happened the way it happened. They want to tell you everything. And let me tell you something, that's good. Look at, actually, if you go to Luke chapter 1, the Gospel of Luke. As you all may already know, and if you don't, Luke was a medical doctor. And he left the medical field to follow Paul on his missionary journeys to go preach. And he became a missionary. Maybe he was a doctor. Maybe he was doing medical work while he was doing missions, right, with Paul. But check it out. At the beginning of the book, the gospel that he writes, he says, first verse in the first chapter, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting for me, as well as having investigated everything carefully. You see that? From the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent O Theophilus. He's talking to his friend. The Gospel of Luke was written to a friend named Theophilus. And then when he writes him, he says, I'm going to give you this account. And what I'm going to tell you, I have verified. I've investigated from beginning to end. I got eyewitnesses that can tell that I'm telling the truth, you know. So he was very thorough. As you can see, that's what he did. And when you read the book of Luke, you see the difference between Matthew, Luke, Mark, and John. Matthew was written for the priestly, for the Jewish, for the people who knew the law. Mark was written generally to anyone and everyone. It's a short story of Jesus Christ, and it was written in a very popular or the vernacular language. It was the easy reading, like, here you go, have at it. You know, this is like the, when you go to the library and you buy those little compendiums of the book, instead of reading the whole book, you just read the summary of the book, right, or something, whatever you call them, the Cliff Notes, is it? Something like that. Yeah, I never read those. I read the whole book. You see? Yeah, right. Anyway, but that's what I'm talking about. That's the way Mark is. It's like, here you go. There's a story in 1, 2, 3. And then you have the book of Luke, which is very detailed. It has dates. It has names, places. It's made for those who are, you know, like, I want to investigate because he's a teacher. And then you have the Gospel of John. It's for the lost. For those who do not know Jesus, like, here you go. Here is the man, Jesus Christ. Let me show you who he is. And he goes through with his story, identifying Jesus as God and his deity. And that's the way the teachers do. They like to give details and everything else. You know, it's like when the kids, they go out and they say, I'll be back at 11 p.m., right? And parents just usually sit there and wait, right, till 11 p.m. If they go to bed at 9, one of them is like, I mean, wide awake, waiting for them to come in at 11. If they come in at midnight at 12, when they come to the door, what's the first thing the mom or dad or both of them at the same time say? Why are you late? Weren't you supposed to be here at 11? And the kid says, oh, we got a little behind. I was with my friends. We're a little late. And you're going to take that, right? Just like that. Oh, no, you know. Oh, you know you're not going to take that. You see, because all of a sudden you're going to start like, whoa, wait a second. You come in here at midnight. Where were you at 11 p.m.? Well, who was with you? I want to know. What were you doing that you didn't make it here? What in the world happened that you could not be here? And, oh, my God, they want all the details, right? Well, I'm not saying that necessarily mom or dad have the gift of teaching, right? But a person with the gift of teaching wants the details. It's not that there's like these people are nosy. They just want to know the details. They thrive on that. They like to know dates. They like to know names. They like to know things like that. You know what I mean? It's like when the husband comes home from a hard day of work, and then they sit at the table, and mama says, honey, how was your day? And he says, same as always. If she's got the gift of teaching, she's going to be, oh, no, honey, tell me what happened today. Tell me all about it. Since you left the door when I kissed you up until you came to that door, and I kissed you again. Right? Believe it or not, you know. Well, I'm exaggerating. That's called a hyperbole, right? But anyway, I'm just saying, the person with the gift of teaching likes to hear details, like to hear all that stuff. You see? So it is not just about women or men being like that, right? But also, one of the other things is that they like to validate things. They hear information, and they like to validate the information that they hear. You see, they like to validate. They want to know how you know that. Where did you find that? Where did you learn that? Who told you that? Who said that? Right? They like quotes. They like stories. They like, but they want to know things like that. That's a person with the gift of teaching. They want to know why. Okay, so that, why? I mean, you would think that all three-year-olds have the gift of teaching, right? Why? 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 But no, you know what I'm talking about. They want to know where you got that information. They want to know if you have any credibility. And if they don't know, then all of a sudden, if you tell them, I don't know, you're like, what do you mean you don't know? How are you going to tell me something that you don't know you even where you even got it from? Wikipedia? You see, people with the gift of teaching normally will not trust Wikipedia. You know what I'm talking about? They will not just Google something and whatever they find. Ooh, yeah. They'll Google it 10 times before they actually think it might be true. See, that's people with the gift of teaching. They want to know. See, the one with the gift of prophecy, he's got this fervent desire to simply tell the truth and live righteous and say, this is the truth and we need to live it. The one with the gift of service is always busy, 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 serving others, making sure that things are happening. And that's how he gets satisfied. And the one that has the gift of teaching, he just wants to learn something new. He's about learning something new every day. These are the people that usually tell you that phrase, learn something every day. And they thrive on that, on learning, right? These are the people who have the gift of teaching. They see the details and they see things in stories and things in the facts, especially. When they hear facts, they hear keywords and they think, that other people may not. And they see problems in when people are trying to tell facts and they're like, wait a second, that sounds more like an opinion more than a fact. And they see the problems and things like that. The more details he's got, the better he feels with the information. Some other characteristics is they're always wanting to analyze other teachers. Oh, my God. A person with a gift of teaching sitting on the pew is always analyzing if the person that's speaking is organized, if not, if there's any mistakes in their spelling, if they are kind of losing the crowd or not, or if they're going on a tangent or chasing rabbits or not. The person with the gift of teaching will pay attention to that every single time they sit at a pew. How many of you do that? I know there's a few of you out there that will pay attention to those kind of things. You see, maybe we got to be careful, right? But those are good qualities. And even when we looked at Luke and he's speaking, actually he wrote the book of Acts also. And in the book of Acts, actually in the first paragraph, let's go there for a second. He also talks like in the same manner. If you look at the book of Acts in the first paragraph of the book, it says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, which is the book or the gospel of Luke, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up into the heavens, and after he had been had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostle whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself, and he starts, you see, but he wants to make sure, remember, I gave you the story of this and that, that. Well, I don't want you to lose the track. I don't want to lose your train of thought. Let me take you back to that point where I stopped writing, and let me give you a new story or the continuation of the story. See, they're mindful of people not losing track. And he's telling them, you know, I investigated these things. I already found out. I've talked to people about it. They're always wanting to make sure of where they get the information. I get pretty scared sometimes when I'm trying to study and I'm trying to do something in the Word and I'm trying to write and I'm just typing away and coming up with ideas or interpreting what I'm reading and things like that, I always like to bounce it off. I'll go back and grab me some commentaries or grab me some systematic theology books and things like that. And I like to look, and I got certain people that I like that I consider great teachers, like John MacArthur and Wayne Grudem and John Erickson and other things like that. And I'll go back to them and I'll corroborate. And I'll even go to some of the ones that are not so trusted, just in case. And, you know, when I don't, I get up here. If I don't do all that research, when I get up here, I get nervous when I'm going to say something. Because where did this come from? Does anybody have to say something to the contrary? And this series is very challenging because the gift can be interpreted in many different ways in different churches, especially the miraculous gifts. And some people say, no, they cease. No, they're still going and things like that. So this is very challenging because people have different points of views in their interpretation of these gifts. So I have to do my homework. And this is hard and very challenging. But people who have the gift of teaching thrive in that. Just finding out the truth and finding out those nuggets in there, you know, those golden pieces that are just going to make things better. And they're always wanting to make sure where the source of the information is. They're very critical of others. And if they don't guard themselves, a person with a gift of teaching, if they don't keep themselves in check, they'll criticize everyone and everybody that speaks and tries to teach. And they'll have something negative to say about them every single time. And I got to catch myself a lot of times and say, no, David, no, don't go there. Just because they don't use your style, because we all have different styles, that doesn't mean that you need to shut up and listen and take heed, right? So be careful with that if you have the gift of teaching. You value the truth, but, you know, you are careful about opinions. That's the person with the gift of teaching. They are happy just learning. These are people who the person with the gift of teaching needs to be careful not to just learn and forget about everything else. Because sometimes, if you think about it, the gospel has its effect because we have the information. We have the word. You see, you need the word. You need to read the word. You need to know Jesus. You need to know exactly what the word says. But just knowing the word is not enough. And the person with the gift of teaching, if they don't guard themselves spiritually, and if they're not in prayer, they'll just become a wealth of information. And that's it. And their lives won't be any different than the person that does not have the information. But the thing is that we need to thrive in doing what we're reading and applying it to our lives. And everyone needs to do that, not just a person with the gift of teaching. But they're focused on having information and giving people information. Now, I've had to correct that. When I first started preaching in church, that's what I thrived on, giving information, information, information. And then I went to some preaching classes, and then I read on other preachers, and I looked at the purpose of preaching, and the purpose of preaching and teaching is not information. If I'm just giving you information, then I'm halfway there. The idea is to take that information and give you something that applies to you, that you can apply to your life and that you can use to live by. If I don't give you that, then I'm falling short. Information is not enough. Information does not save you. Because information, the devil has all the information in the world and in the heavens. The devil knows this book cover to cover probably, and yet that doesn't save him. He fears and he trembles. He knows this stuff. But knowing this stuff is not enough. Some people think that knowing a lot about the Bible, that makes them great Christians. Be careful. Use what you know, and if you use well what you know, you'll be better off than the one that knows a lot and don't use it. Amen? So think about it. Usually a teacher wants to see lives transformed. That's why they teach. They want to make an impact on lives. But be careful, because even if you have the gift of teaching, sometimes you get in a rut and all you give is information, and that is not good. People don't like that. People don't just want to hear information. People don't want to hear information. People want to hear something that's going to help them in their lives. People like to relate to teachers. That's why, and I have to be careful, and so does any teacher. When you're teaching, you use your life as an example. But be careful not to use a life for every single example when you're preaching. Because then it all starts sounding like you're talking about yourself the whole time you're teaching, right? You use illustrations of your own life and try to use the negative ones. I tell you, teachers, be transparent. Instead of just telling your students about all your achievements, tell them about your struggles. Tell them about your stumbling. Tell them about the lacking in your life. Man, they will identify and they'll love you for it. Sometimes as teachers, we get challenged and
we get the wrong idea and we think, well, if I'm too vulnerable, then they're going to lose respect for me. Actually, when they hear you speaking truth from your life and they hear your stumbling, they hear your battles and how you still keep going, they will respect you more than anything. They will do that so easily. What I'm trying to say is that if you have the gift of teaching, then you need to have the mindset that your interest is in transformation. I learned this actually, and I can say it out loud, from Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback Church. What is preaching? Preaching is the utterance of God's word for the purpose of transforming lives. Period. If it's not going to change lives, then it's incomplete. It's lacking. It's not enough. So the true teacher does not just talk about how much he knows. He also becomes vulnerable and transparent, let's just say. And that helps out so much in their experience. So if you have the gift of teaching and you're like me and you tend to talk a lot, also you have to learn to listen, right? We have to learn to listen. You have to be careful not to just talk all the time, but also listening. And we like to listen. The people with the gift of teaching like to listen. They like to listen when they're being taught, when they're learning. If they're not learning, they don't want to listen. But we have to work on our listening skills, because even though we may not be learning, the other person may be learning from us just listening. That's very important with the gift of teaching. Number six, clarifying misunderstandings. They don't like misunderstandings. They don't like to leave misunderstandings up in the air. They see a misunderstanding like, whoa. Let's straighten this out. You see, you get some information in your life, and then later on you discover that what they've given you is not really true. Then all of a sudden you don't just say whatever. No, you're probably going to go out there and say, hey, guess what? Remember what you told me? That ain't right. And some people don't like that, because that person may be holding that as a truth. Or maybe that's just their opinion. They're just very strong opinionated, right? But when a person with the gift of teaching says, you know what, you told me this and I don't know where you got that, but that's wrong. Oh, my goodness. They're misunderstood sometimes. We're going to talk about that in a second. But, you know, people with the gift of teaching, when something breaks, they fight and they fuss like everybody else when something breaks. But all of a sudden, they find themselves when they're trying to fix something. Hold on one second. Let's trace every step back. Let's go back. And if they're wise enough, they'll go back to the book of instructions, right? The instruction books, yeah, men don't have the gift of teaching. They always read it after they break it, right? The installation manual. We don't need no stinking manual. We experiment first. And when we see the spark, oops, okay, let's look at the book. Maybe that's the wrong wire. Amen. I don't know what I'm talking about. They like all those details. See, it's like people, the person with the gift of teaching doesn't like to have bad information, doesn't like misunderstandings. He likes to make things clear. It was these two friends that were sitting at a bar, which I don't recommend, okay? But they were sitting at a bar and they were drinking something together and whatever it was. And they were looking at the TV and the news were on. It was probably about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. The news are on and they see a man that's on top of a 20-story building and he's about to jump, right? So one of them says, I bet you $10 he's going to jump. And the other one says, bet you $10 he won't. Pulled out $10, put it on the table, and guess what? The man jumped. And the guy says, I owe you. So he gives him the $10. The guy puts the $10, then he's like, he started feeling bad. He's like, you know what? I don't want to have a misunderstanding here. You know, I know this is wrong. I was watching the 6 o'clock news. I already saw this, and the guy jumped. So here's your $10. He's like, oh, I saw it too, but I was thinking he's not going to do it twice. So, you know, but you try to avoid misunderstandings like that, right? But unfortunately, when you have the gift of teaching, just like any other gift, sometimes you are misunderstood, often misunderstood. How? Number one, because you appear to neglect practical application. It's like, what is it with this guy? All he's thinking is information. He's not thinking about application. He's being neglective. All this information, and they feel like, why so much information if you don't tell me how to use it, right? So it could be a little bit overwhelming with other people, especially with the people with the gift of service. They get with the person with the gift of teaching, and the one with the gift of teaching wants to explain everything, how it's done. And the other one's like, yeah, just tell me what you want done, I'll get it done, right? Person with the gift of service. So it gets a little thing. And then the person with the gift of service may think, this person does not worry about application. All they want to tell, how, and give information, right? And the one with the gift of teaching has this desire to give information because they value information, right? And they value practical application. But sometimes it seems like they neglect it because they want more and more information. Number two, they can appear to be proud about what they learn. They can appear to be proud about what they learn. Because when they speak, they give so many details that other people may think, you don't have to give me that many details. I know you know your stuff, but you don't have to tell me all that you know, in 12 seconds. Because normally a normal conversation exchange usually takes about 12 seconds each person of talking. So you don't have to give me everything in 12 seconds, right? Actually, you don't have to use my 12 seconds. You know, that's what a person on the other side would say to the person with the gift of teaching. Can I get my 12 seconds here? Actually, you done took like 5 minutes from me and now, but it's all right, you know? But that's the way it happens. The person with the gift of teaching, He doesn't have to give details about their achievements or their certificates or their titles and everything, but usually they value that when a person has titles and have certifications and things like that. I went to visit the office of a dear friend the other day, and I noticed all the certificates on the wall, the license and college degree and stuff like that, and me, with the gift of teaching, I get crazy about looking at certificates and stuff like that and diplomas. I love looking at them. So, you know, I was trying to be, you know, kind of like not notice, but I was like, I want to see, where did she graduate? What year? Huh? What's the name of the title? You know, I wanted to look at the diplomas because I'm interested in that kind of stuff. The person with the gift of teaching values that. But sometimes they may seem a little too proud. You see? Because people may think, oh, look at him. Now he's talking about all his degrees and seminary and all that. It's not because of being proud, but because they value all the effort that it takes to acquire that information and to get that diploma and get it gone and get it and use it, okay? But they have to be careful because they could appear to be a little bit too proud. So we need to be careful. Appear to reject practical principles. First, I said neglect applications, but now I'm talking about reject practical principles. What's the difference I'm trying to make here? Sometimes the person with the gift of teaching may not take a principle so as valuable from a person who may not have a certain education than with a person that's had that certain education. For example, we have pastors. In order to be a pastor, for example, in a Southern Baptist church, you don't need a degree to be a pastor. As a matter of fact, you don't even need to graduate kindergarten to be a pastor in a Baptist church. You don't need a title. You don't need a high school diploma. You don't need anything. Because we Baptists believe that what matters is the call of God. If God called you to be a pastor, if God called you to be a preacher, if God called you to be whatever he called you to be, you best be it. Period. God's call is over any qualification a human being can have. Now, is it recommended? I tell everyone that comes to me and says, well, what does it take to be a pastor? Well, first of all, it takes the call of God. If God hasn't called you, don't go there. Did you have to go to school? No, but I did. And why did you go? Because I valued that. Because I wanted that. Because I wanted to learn. I wanted to prepare myself. But if it took education to be a pastor, back in some of our countries, who could be a pastor? When you go to the mountains, when we went on missions and you see these people pastoring a church up in the fields, up in the mountains, and all they have is 2 second-grade education. They know how to read barely, and they're pastoring and preaching the Word of God with fire from the sky, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm talking about. That a lot of times, the people with the gift of teaching may analyze or overanalyze too much and looking at where this is coming from and thinking that a person without all of that may not be able to give them some practical principles and things like that. But God works the truth in our lives no matter what education level we're on. And the gift of teaching is not about an education level. Some of you here, I know, have gone to college and gotten an education degree. And that's very commendable. As a matter of fact, that's what my daughter says she wants to do. And I am extremely happy that she's wanting to be an elementary teacher. I am so excited. As a matter of fact, I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, when that girl was born, I prayed to the Lord and I said, make her a great teacher and missionary. And now she wants to go to school to be a teacher. Now I'm afraid she's going to go away as a missionary. So who knows? But that's what I prayed 17 years ago. And guess what? I'm going to have to face the consequences. But that is great. See, but it's not about the education. Anybody can have a practical principle and a word of life for you simply because God uses the person with the gift of teaching, even if they don't have a teaching education degree. So remember that all of the knowledge in the world is not what saves you. You can know it all. It is the truth of God working in your life. The transformational power of the truth of God is necessary for you to experience true life in Christ Jesus. And only God can offer that. He is the teacher of teachers. He is the master of masters. And he's given us a truth for us to live by. And you see, in the body of Christ, in the church, he has given everybody gifts. And he's given his people with the gift of teaching. And these same people give us the word of God. And we should have constantly in mind that the purpose is not just to download a bunch of information upon you, but to give you words that will change your thinking, change your behavior, change your lifestyle, change you from within. In our daily walk, we're going to find ourselves and we're going to encounter people who have a lot of knowledge of the word. But remember that that is not enough. The word of God has power. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the word of God has power for what? Is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the divisions of the soul and the spirit and both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's how powerful the word of God is. All the way through you. Right through you. To the deepest and right through you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 gives us the purpose of the word of God. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for what? For teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. The word of God is to give us all that information, but it is to change us, to train us, to make us different, to penetrate our lives and do the work of transformation. And the one who has the gift of teaching understands that knowledge is not enough and we need to be confronted, not just with knowledge, but with where the source of the knowledge is. Read about a woman in her young age. She was at a meeting in college, and she overheard a group of people talking about a certain book. Oh, my God, this book is something else. Oh, my God, this book. And the whole group was just talking about this book like it was the best book ever written. And she decided, I'm going to check out that book. And she wrote the title because she heard it. And she went down to the bookstore and she bought the book. She excited, went back to her room, started reading the book. She read the intro. And when she got to the first chapter, she fell asleep. She said, this is a hard read. This is difficult. This is not very, I don't know what they're talking about. She put it on her shelf. 5 years later, she was traveling and she met a certain man. And they started talking, they became friends, and next thing you know, they become boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, and next thing you know, we're getting married. Guess who he was? The author of that book. And when she found out that he had written a book, the man that she loved so dearly, she went running back and just dusted the book and started opening it up. And she read the whole thing in one shot, and she said it changed her life because she knew the author of the book. And you see, you can tell that some people like to learn this book from cover to cover, but you have to know the author of this book in order for it to make the impact and the change in your life. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, made man, made flesh. And he wants you to know him intimately and personally. He wants you to learn from him. He wants you to be transformed. He wants you to live for him and use your gifts for his glory. Father, thank you so much for the gift of teaching and the people who teach us.